Good evening. The show starts tonight with jobs and job openings. I speak with Liz Peek. The Federal Reserve's raising interest rates as quickly as it did from the spring of 22 to the summer of 23 moved the markets in unpredictable fashion. And one of the contraries that we've dealt with for months now is that the jobs numbers are very good. Americans are working, fully employed, even more than that. And yet, the Federal Reserve keeps raising rates, expecting people to be laid off. That is a sign, an old-fashioned sign, of a slowdown in the economy, which is meant to translate into a slowdown with interest charged for mortgages and for car loans, for everything, making everything more expensive. It hasn't happened. The jobs numbers continue strong. Much attention now to job openings. There are fewer job openings than there were when the Federal Reserve started raising rates. It's all a mystery. We're waiting for the jobs number on Friday, but right now there is some indication that jobs and job openings are slowing. COP28, the meeting in the petrostate of UAE to look to net zero or climate emergency. It's also a gathering place of the very well-to-do, the very well-connected big governments. I am told late in the day from Moscow that Vladimir Putin will be traveling not only to Saudi Arabia to meet with Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, but also under the UAE to attend the COP28. Perhaps he'll certainly be in the same state, the UAE. We'll see. Vladimir Putin not fearing arrest for war crimes. Venezuela threatening Guyana. I speak with Mary Kissel about that. There's a sense that it's going to be an annexation, and what is America to do about it? I also speak to Barry about Putin going to Saudi Arabia in COP28 with his new sense of being on the winning side in Ukraine. It's a puzzle, and my long conversations with Judy Dempsey in Berlin, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, leads to the conclusion that European Union is not now thinking strategically about the future, about arming and keeping safe Ukraine, whatever remains after negotiation, and about providing security for all the EU, especially the frontline states, Finland, Sweden, the Baltic states, Poland. There's a new government in Poland, and Judy explains what they're waiting for, to form a government. Former Polish Prime Minister Tusk is now the leader to form a new government. It hasn't happened yet. Can Poland be well-disposed both to the EU and NATO? That's been a struggle these last years. NATO, yes, but the EU, troubled by Poland's government, now out of power after the election. London calling. Joe Sternberg and I talk about the net zero aspirations of major states such as Germany, now too expensive on the balance sheet. It's a complicated fashion. Germans are fussy about balanced budgets. Their experience in the 20th century is that unbalanced budgets lead to disorder and tragedy. Right now, the only way to balance that budget is to suspend or at least pause their net zero drive. London is having the same problem. Prime Minister Sunak erases the EV mandate. Sales for EVs plunged 17% in 1 month. Gregory Copley is here to discuss the Houthi attacks in the Red Sea. The continuing trouble in Gaza can mean up to 250,000 Palestinians are relocated refugees. And the news is, the report is, that Turkey is offering refuge in northern Cyprus and in the Kurdish part of Turkey. We shall see. Troubles in Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and Ethiopia, I discussed with Gregory. And then the King Charles report. Great fun. King Charles was at COP28 to make a speech, but most importantly, on the sidelines, he met with Prime Minister Mitsotakis of Greece, I'm told, to patch up the bad feelings after a most recent Elgin Marbles incident. The Prime Minister of Greece, after making an agreement with the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Rishi Sunak, that he would not speak in public over the Elgin Marbles, did during an interview. Rishi Sunak then did not meet with the Prime Minister of Greece, Mitsotakis, to discuss the Elgin Marbles, which remain a point of contention. The Elgin marbles were purchased from the Ottoman Empire in the early part of the 19th century. They were transferred from the Parthenon, where they'd been in the open air, in the ruins for centuries, to the British Museum, where they abide today. Greece wants them back. Greece has built a museum for them. Britain may or may not give them back, may or may not loan them. The Parliament purchased them from Lord Elgin in the 19th century. It's a marvelous controversy, continues, and the king seeking to patch it up with Matsutakis, at least for now. Then a report on North Korean spy satellite successfully launched. What does it mean? A report on Sri Lanka, and at the center of a contest between India, the U.S., and the Adani Group, the richest man in India, to provide a port and facilities for Sri Lanka that keep it from wandering into the Chinese path. And then a conversation with Bob Zimmerman and David Livingstone on Hotel Mars about Apollo 8. The moon race was won not in the Apollo 11 landing on the moon, but in the Apollo 8 circling of the moon, when for the first time NASA demonstrated that a manned capsule could leave the gravity of the Earth and travel to the gravity of another body, in this case, our very large moon. A conversation about the risk that Apollo 8 took with Bob Zimmerman, who wrote the book Genesis many years ago. The presumption in NASA when that mission started was 50-50 chance of success. 50-50. There's no way we can believe that NASA would take such a risk today, but that was 1968, December. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.